The Office of Management and Budget's latest attempt to tame federal data centers is receiving rave reviews from industry and government. Maybe more importantly, White House officials recognize that changing the federal approach to data centers is no longer just a money savings game. Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller writes about this new draft policy in his weekly feature Inside the Reporter's Notebook. He joins me now to discuss. And Jason, it looks to me like in replacing the Federal Data Center Consolidation Initiative, they've tied up all of the loose ends: FITARA, money savings, energy savings, optimization, performance, reporting, all into one kind of new policy bundle.
I think you're absolutely right. Remember, this is just a draft policy, and we have it linked up on federalnewsradio.com for people to read for themselves. It's not very long, and only about 10 pages. But it does several things. It does bring in a whole host of ongoing initiatives and says everything is tied back to how you manage your infrastructure, how you manage your data center, cybersecurity, application modernization, power usage. There's an executive order around greening the government. All of that gets tied in to this data center. So a couple things have stood out to me. Number one, it says specifically the CIO is in charge of all contracts, all services, all infrastructure.
There's your FITARA.
There's your FITARA piece when it comes to data centers. Second thing it does, and I thought this is very interesting, it says it freezes all current and new data center spending. New ones within 180 days, saying if you want to expand, upgrade, change, or buy new, stop and justify why you think you need to go to new, because we believe, and this is the order that OMB wants, is they think agencies should first provision services, including anything to the cloud. So there is the cloud first policy tie-in.
Yes.
If they can't go to the cloud, then you should use an interagency or a co-location kind of shared service data center.
Yeah, I forgot cloud and shared services, but they're in there too. This is like a big spaghetti sauce with all of the initiatives kind of together. And I noticed something interesting in there slipped in, that the GSA will create a new contract vehicle for something very specific.
Absolutely. And I think it's part of what GSA is doing around acquisition to give people the tools and the specific data center technologies that they want, and then make it easier to find. And I think that's the other piece of this is this idea that under shared services, GSA, also the Office of Government-Wide Policy, will create, if you will, a marketplace for these type of data centers. So if you can't meet number one of going to the cloud and you want to stick with number two, which is the interagency or co-location, you can see who has room that maybe you could buy from. So if Census has room and you're over at agriculture, you may be able to use their data center depending on how much room you need.
And is there also some kind of imperative to reduce the number of data sets and applications to simplify and weed out what it is that they don't really need to keep investing in?
So that ties back to IT modernization, right? That's why it's, as you are doing your inventory of your data centers, you also are looking at from an IT modernization perspective. And we talked about this last week with the draft policy that I had obtained around IT modernization, is agencies have to do that inventory of what they're using, whether they need it, whether it needs to be modernized, and come up with three systems that do need to be modernized. That's part of that discussion. That's why I think you're right. This is one big spaghetti sauce. It has your onions, it has your basil, it has your garlic, it has all the necessary pieces.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller. And before we get to the energy piece, I wanted to ask you about the detail that I noticed in this policy of how carefully they define data centers. There seems to be something really urgent there that people know what this tier is and what that tier is.
I think the definition is hugely important. I think one of the reasons why is because people were saying, well, that's not really a data center. That's just a server in a closet. That's not considered a data center. And then you said, well, then they changed the definition to anything over 500 square feet. Well, my data center is only 498 square feet, so I don't have to include that. What they're basically saying now is, if it's a server that's connected to the internet, it's a data center, and you should count that. And then you should, then there's the non-tier and the tiered. The tiered is the big ones, right, that really serve a large number of people or a large number of processors. And the non-tiered is the minor data centers, but they should count them all. And I think that's a huge piece to this puzzle.
I think they said that if it has its own uninterruptible power supply or backup power supply that kicks in, that's a tiered one.
Right. And I think that's just a signal about how important it is to your organization.
And energy efficiency comes into this in a pretty big way. And there's, to get to the next level of energy efficiency in traditional data centers, you do have to switch out a lot of technology.
And I think one of the things that was pointed out to me by some experts, Keith Trippi, for instance, who was on the initial FDCCI team back in 2010, he's now in the private sector, but he pointed out to me that he was surprised that they actually highlighted so strongly the energy usage issues, because as metrics go, if you optimize, if you consolidate, if you do all those things, the energy will come with it versus making a specific goal just to reduce energy usage. And his concern on that was basically you're giving agencies a way to continue to have their own data centers, run their own data centers versus moving to the cloud, moving to a shared service. Because, well, we reduced by 1.5, so we're good. We can keep our own. And the whole goal is not to keep your own.
All right, interesting policy piece. And again, that's linked in at federalnewsradio.com in Jason's Inside the Reporter notebook.
One last point, Tom, sure, on that, just before we move on. The savings is still important. Let's not underestimate savings. OMB still lays out savings metrics. There was a recent GAO report as well. OMB says they believe they can save $1.3 billion by 2018. So it's still a piece. It's just not the only piece, and I think that's key.
Reminds me of the old ad. I forget what it was for, but it went something like, data centers cost too much. I guess they're going to try to change that too. And there's a couple of personnel changes I didn't want to miss out on.
Right.
Tell us about those at GSA.
Specifically at GSA, Kay Ely, I saw a Twitter feed from Mary Davey who said that we're looking for someone to run IT Schedule 70. And my first thought, unfortunately, was, oh no, did Kay Ely retire? She did not retire. I want to be clear on that. She got a new job. She actually got promoted. She's now the deputy assistant commissioner over at the Integrated Technology Services at GSA. And I think that's good news for both GSA and good news for Kay Ely. So now they're hiring someone to replace her to run Schedule 70. So I think that is most important. The other one that I'm hearing some strong rumors on, Tom, is over at the Education Department. Now, we know Danny Harris, the CIO, recently retired. Steve Graywall, who is the deputy CIO, is now acting CIO. I'm hearing rumors he may be on his way out as well. I don't have a total confirmation yet, but pretty strong rumors.
Interesting, because this is just when the Senate is actually looking at the acting secretary to become permanent secretary for whatever time left there is in the hole.
Right. It leaves one to wonder whether if Steve does leave, and again, it's just a very strong rumor, if it's a house cleaning or is getting out while the getting's good, or is it just a coincidence that Danny Harris ended up retiring under heavy congressional scrutiny, and now Steve is leaving closely behind him. It's always hard to tell.
Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller, as always, thanks for that update.
My pleasure.
You can read Jason's column, Inside the Reporter's Notebook. It's online now at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive. Share this interview with colleagues. Go there and click share with friends.